Jeremy White.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car for $10. You're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
And Joe DiBiase.
You can't be Captain Crunch unless you are a captain.
Was Captain Crunch an actual captain? What were his, you know, merits?
Is it even? It's not even captain, actually.
It's Cap'n.
It's Cap'n?
That's right.
Of course he was a captain.
Yeah, I bet he faked the resume.
On Western New York sports giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Chilly out there again. Fall.
Was that open, by the way, proof of you knowing, like, modern lingo? Cap'n?
Like Captain Crunch?
Yeah, but Cap'n is like, you're lying.
Yeah, no, yeah, I wasn't using it in the context of that. Right. I do.
You did. It sounded like you did know that.
I do know that.
Okay.
Someone says that's Cap.
Or if you just use the Cap emoji.
Right.
That means you're full of it.
That's right. And if you say no Cap, that means, you know what it is? No Cap means for real.
Yes,
I'm for real. No Cap.
No Cap is for real. If you see that out there in the social media wilderness.
Yeah, I knew that. You know who taught me that? I think it was one of the wide receivers in the NFL. Like, I saw no Cap, and I'm like, oh, what's that mean? I texted my buddies. I have friends that are a lot cooler than me in the text thread, and I'll send the text, like, what does this mean?
Well, you're the guy, though, that you're not, like, pretend to know what it means. You're like, well, what does this mean?
No, I'll ask for a clarification.
No, you gotta Google it and find it. Oh, I guess. Depends.
What's the most recent time you've had to search an acronym?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know.
If you know, you know. Or
oh,
what do
come
you
on.
Do
who doesn't it? Know if you know, you know?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, those are some examples.
Yeah. It's a good question.
I don't even know what the,
Send me
what's
a bunch,
going on right now.
Tweet them at me right now. Tweet me a bunch of these things that I may or may not know.
Yeah.
And we'll see what
Let's
I know.
See if he knows them.
Well, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Maybe you watched the Monday night game. I watched a good chunk of it. I watched the Belichick portion. The Bills, of course, will be on Monday night next week.
First half of the Manning cast.
Yeah.
That's all I got in. And
it
then
is...
I said, you know what? This game's too close. I'm going to take Jeremy's advice, not wait up to watch the Chiefs get a flag at the end, but I guess it didn't need that.
No, they didn't. And you said Juju was their number one receiver. He really,
by yardage, at
least. Yeah. You know who was their number one receiver?
Who?
Kelsey's back.
Yeah.
If you...
Yep. They were using him.
Yep. Not only were they using him, he was great. He was great. He looked good.
Yeah,
he made nine
for 70.
In the middle of a catch and juke, Belichick shouted out, oh, what a move.
I saw that, yeah. To get out of bounds at the end of the half.
Yep.
Yep.
Kelsey is great. And there was an article from someone that wrote for The Athletic about, like, what's wrong with Kelsey. And the answer that they had was, nothing's wrong with him. The offense is built for Rice right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought was, with Rice out, the Chiefs are going to refocus their offense back through Kelsey, and that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
So
there was a moment last night, actually, I think it was in the second quarter, where Mahomes was maybe looking for Worthy, and Belichick broke it down. Like, that's a play, that's a Rice route.
Yeah.
That's a Rice route that they're now asking Worthy to run, and he is not... He's not all the way there on timing and whatnot. Like, there was something timing-wise that made it not work that it would have worked with Rice.
He did have a couple catches. He did have a touchdown.
He had a rushing touchdown.
Worthy did.
Saved my fantasy day.
Kelsey. You want a little piece of fantasy advice? Here's some fantasy football advice for anybody out there on Travis Kelsey. If you have someone in your league, this is my opinion, that thinks, ooh, he had one big game, I'm going to sell now, you should buy that. I think what you saw from Kelsey last night is what you're going to see every week.
Mm-hmm.
The tight end one will be back.
By the peak?
Yep. He went for over on his catches and yards, like the gambling, in the first half. He was over on catches and over on yards in the first half.
Yeah.
So I just think he's a part of their offense again. One thing, you know, here's a fun game to play. Tell me the Bills lost without telling me the Bills lost. One way to do this is on Monday Night Football, if a team that is their peer is playing, it's what are they doing and why can't the Bills do that? Had a lot of texts and tweets about, look at this, just featuring Kelsey routinely over the middle.
Mm-hmm.
How many catches did you say? 7 for 90? What was it?
It was 9 for 70.
9 for 70.
9 for 70.
9 catches, 70 yards.
Yeah.
Just throwing to him whenever they want. Hey, they've lost their top two receivers. And what do they get? Production out of Juju Smith-Schuster off the streets.
Right. Who everyone assumed his knee is just completely shot.
He went for 130 yards.
Yeah, 7 for 130 on 8 targets.
Those were
really the whole passing offense was those two.
Those two, yeah.
Yeah. Everything, I mean, little by little, Hardman had 30, Gray had 30, Worthy had his 25, everyone else kind of mixed in. But yeah, those were the top two by far.
Well, one question I heard yesterday, I listened to a lot of the station yesterday, I listened to Extra Point, One Bills Live, afternoon show, you know, pop in and out when I can. And there was one caller that brought up a point I didn't hear anybody else bring up. And that is, why is it that the Bills can overcome five defensive injuries, but one on offense and they're sunk? Why is that? Look at their defense. You want to say Vaughn, Milano, Taron Johnson, Taylor Rapp. Mm-hmm. At the time, it would have been Terrell Bernard. Last year, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
You get guys falling out of the defense, and that defense is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And the offense, by contrast, this last game they lost Shakir. Who's the biggest, what's the most significant injury the offense has had in the last 4 years? The longest term or the biggest impact where it's like, well, guys, they've had to adjust. They don't have blank.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Well, Diggs ever miss a game?
No. Diggs was super durable.
Did he play every game?
They missed Gabe Davis occasionally on and off, a game here, a game there. And they did not miss Gabe Davis when they played.
But was he even ever out more than like two
in a row
in a time?
And they never had a Milano injury on their defense where it's like, oh, yeah, Deion Dawkins is out for the year. Or Morse is missing 12 weeks.
Right.
The offense has been relatively healthy, knock on wood. And for whatever reason, your defense can just plug and play. And your offense doesn't have that luxury. Maybe we haven't even seen that many games where they're missing a guy.
I thought I had an example, but it was only a one-game example. I thought I remembered Cole Beasley missing some time.
Okay.
At one point, remember when Isaiah McKenzie went off in New England?
Was that
filling in for
a no-Beasley game?
It was a no-Beasley game, but that was the only one.
And that was like a COVID-related miss a game.
That might be what
it wasn't even really
of.
An injury.
Okay.
It was just like, oh, he's suspended or he had to miss a game for whatever.
That might be what I'm
thinking. And McKenzie went bonkers. So, okay, one game they missed
one guy. One game 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise, that is kind of incredible, right? Dawkins plays every game. Diggs played every game. Beasley missed like two games when he was here. I guess Knox has missed stretches of time, but like how critical is he in the first place?
When they missed Knox last year, they went to 11 personnel more often, and they also changed their coordinator while he was hurt.
Right.
So
and they had a first rounder ready to play the moment he was out. So that's a good. They really haven't been tested on that front. I mean, this past Sunday was a little bit of that, right? Only one game.
Was it the biggest and most obvious injury loss in the Josh Allen era?
Maybe since that Beasley game, when the New England game that Beasley missed a couple of years ago. Like, that's 3 years ago, though, and it's your slot receiver.
2021, is that?
2021.
So the first significant loss on offense for a game since 2021. I mean, if you wanted to say Gabe, I guess you could say that, but still.
Yeah,
like,
you probably, maybe you should.
You could, but when Gabe missed, they didn't miss a beat, I don't think. Gabe missed the game against Tennessee, where the Bills won 41 to something.
That's right.
And Gabe wasn't in that game. Diggs went over the top.
Right. Well, we look back and think, yeah, Gabe, you know, at the end of the day, he maybe wasn't that great. Beasley, I look back and like he was tremendous.
Yes.
Like at what he did. That's to me the big difference. Beasley was tremendous. Davis more and more looks like, yeah, he was replaceable. Although, is he better than Mac Hollins? He might be better than Mac Hollins.
He definitely is.
He's definitely better than Mac Hollins. Yeah.
I got a Let's Get Stupid that was sent in to me about trading for Gabe Davis.
Trading for Gabe Davis?
Yeah, no, I don't. Anyway. 803-0550 is our number. So
it's coaching, though, isn't it?
It's you
have a proven top level defensive coach in the NFL, and on offense, I don't know. I have no idea what you have. Kansas City, why are they able to some degree? Their offense is still not like amazing. It's not top five in the league. Last night was pretty good, right?
Last night's the best it's looked to me.
Okay. But otherwise, that hasn't looked great for almost a calendar year.
Yep. And they lost their top two receiving ideas.
Yep. But they do look like they have an easier time replacing Rice. Kelsey was hurt at the beginning of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
In training camp. Replacing Pacheco. He's out for long term. You know, they've had their injuries. More than the Bills have on offense,
and imagine they
have a game like that last night with a guy off the street that everybody in the league thought was completely toast.
Imagine what this offense would look like if they're dealing with what Kansas City is dealing with, which is, I think the best I could do to make the equivalence would be
Rice is Shakir.
I'd say Shakir and Kincaid
and Cook.
Shakir, Kincaid, and Cook are out. Yeah. What's this offense look like?
And if Shakir's out like for the duration that Rice is, man, I'm almost in panic mode.
Yeah.
I'm at Kansas City could very well be at right now. Like, we don't have to trade. Like, they probably should. Here, I would be like, you better trade. There's no alternative. You have to trade for somebody. You can't just go internal the rest of the way and throw routes over the middle to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who has 2 catches on 9 targets this year, by the way. Maybe it's not that different. Kansas City maybe trades for a receiver at the deadline anyway, but I would feel more confident with them just because they have Andy Reid. It's coaching.
Have to trade for one? I'm putting this up as a Twitter poll. You think the Bills have to trade for someone?
No, if they had lost Shakir like for the season, like the Chiefs have lost Rice.
How about right now? Do they have to trade for outside help?
I'm pretty close to saying
pretty
yes.
Close?
I might want to just say yes. Yeah. I think I'm on a yes on that. I don't know. I feel like you're missing an opportunity if you don't do it. You have a conference that has the Chiefs at the top, once again, 5-0. And then below that, I just feel like it's anybody's ball game, and there's no reason for the Bills to not be right there again as the next best thing to Kansas City going into the playoffs and taking your best swing at them again. And taking your best swing at them does not involve, to me, Matt Collins and Marquez Valdes-Scantling playing all the snaps on the outside. That's not your best swing. There's no way it is. We've had points brought up this week about how you trade for a receiver in the middle of a year. It doesn't normally go that great for you. I understand that. It's not going great for them right now, though. Like, to me, the downside is I'm bad on the outside. Okay, I'm already bad on the outside. I've got Coleman for back shoulder plays and maybe a play or two a game, and that is all I have right now. So you want to tell me them trading for Amari Cooper in 3 weeks, there's a good chance that's not going to go well? I'm not even sure I care. Because the upside is it does go well, and now I'm taking my best swing at Kansas City when I don't know how many teams are capable of doing that. And I still kind of feel like the Bills are just one receiver like that away from just being perfectly fine.
Well, you're not alone in saying that. Yesterday, I'm watching everybody. The Bills were really catching it on national conversations yesterday. I got Stephen A. Smith going after McDermott. Like, that's
for the end of game.
That's when you go to the top of the mountaintop of are you in the crosshairs? When Stephen A is coming after you, you've made it to the mountaintop of, you know, holy cow, what happened to the Bills? Stephen A and Dan Orlovsky, and I've got Matt Harmon and Dalton Del Don on Yahoo talking about Mac Hollins here. And we'll play that a little bit later. Harmon pointed out, and this is they laughed at the Bills for this. And I want to make clear, maybe I don't have to feel bad for Mac Hollins, but I feel a little bad for Mac Hollins because this is not Mac Hollins' fault.
Mm-hmm.
He is the representative of what's going on, and it is definitely not his fault. He's had a nice NFL career. He's been around a bunch of different places. He seems to be really well-liked, so it is not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt Harmon pointed out that on one play, Mac Hollins missed a pass on third down and then was the gunner on the punt. That's pretty incredible. That is Jay Kumerow happening again.
Right.
Again, Jay Kumerow wasn't his fault. When Jay Kumerow was here, nice guy, good role player receiver, but when he saw the field because of an injury on the outside, you started thinking, uh-oh, got a problem. When you throw him a touchdown, it feels great. Like, wow, look at how well you're distributing the ball. He caught that ball in Denver, and Allen calls it the best or hardest he's ever thrown a football. He told Chris Long that in the offseason. So,
but in that game, how many snaps do you think he played in that game?
Oh, probably like 10.
That wasn't one of those games he started.
No, probably 10. And they won by 30 in that game. And they blew Denver out.
Right.
And they were pouring it on. And that's also when they were just downright unstoppable.
He played 5 snaps in that game.
There you go.
In a game they won by 30, by the way. So maybe the other 4 were by when the time they were up by, 48 to whatever.
Yep.
That's kind of what Hollins should be. I agree with you. Like, Hollins, by the way, amazing social media page. Did you ever see what he does on social media?
Yes, his YouTube channel. He does
plumbing.
Like, here's how to fix your sink.
Right, like home improvement thing of the day.
He does everything.
For Hollins. He is awesome.
Yeah.
He should not be starting at wide receiver on an AFC Super Bowl contender. That's just simply, he should not be. He should not be starting. That I didn't realize that thing about him being the gunner on the next play. That it absolutely is the problem right now. That they are relying on a player that nobody in the league would pay him to do this. right? Nobody, what was he valued at? What's his salary? $1.5 million?
Yeah.
It's not much. He's not being paid like this should be his role on offense. His career doesn't really tell you this should be his role on offense. He's had this role on offense like one time in a 10-year career. There's a reason for that. He's fine. He's fine if you got to play a couple of snaps in a game. But to me, him playing a role like the Bills have him playing, where he's getting 6 targets a game, he is the poster child for it. And I don't even think he's playing the worst. Like, I was looking at some of the PFF grades yesterday.
MVS is worse.
MVS is definitely playing worse. He's 2 for 9 on targets on the season. He has the 0% contested catch rate. Like, just there's nothing happening with Valdes-Scantling. He's not really, he got open down the field maybe one time all year. So Hollins might not even be the worst one, but it's a few of them. It's those two, and then it's Samuel, who just is lost at sea right now.
803-0550, our phone number. Do the Bills have to do something? That all depends. That is going to be the million-dollar question. Do they have to do something for this year, or is it a ride-it-out kind of scenario? You know, there's been a little bit of chatter as I listen to the station all day, and let's discuss this as an idea too. Did the 3-0 start inflate our expectations too much? Because which by the way, when you say that, it sounds like the thing we say about the Sabres when they start 6-2 and they're young, and we're like, oh, we shouldn't want something nice. Like, it's not lost on me that saying, well, 3-0 recalibrated us maybe a little bit too positively. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the Bills with Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. If you're saying that, you're saying that you had really dropped your expectations. So whatever, which is fine. But is it about recalibrating? And might the Jets, if this game is close, kind of do the same thing? I mean, I expect the game to be close. The Jets, I got a stat on the Jets defense. It's going to scare the pants off you, Joe.
No.
You want the stat on the Jets defense?
Yeah, what do we got?
Austin Gale of The Ringer tweeted this yesterday, that the New York Jets defense, their success rate against the pass, which is, you know, like, how often do you have a good play for your pass defense versus a bad play? Their 68.4% success rate on passing downs is the 4th best mark this millennium. 24 years, basically, I guess what you say. The 4th best pass defense in the first 5 weeks this century.
Okay.
That's what the Jets defense has right now. The 4th best pass defense weeks 1 through 5 in 24 years.
And they're probably watching the Bills receivers on tape right now and just laughing.
I mean, Sauce Gardner, who's going to beat Sauce Gardner at anything?
Who's he going to cover?
It's going to be you might be a waste. It's a tough test. So, whatever. The Bills are not cooked. They're not dead. The question is, how far should they go for answers?
The three games, it is a combo for me, though. Like, my heightened expectations for them is a combination of things. It is the first three games of the year, and it is absolutely, to me, what is happening around them. Like, it is a glorious opportunity that has been just laid at their feet of, hey, before the year, this was supposed to look like a dogfight. This was supposed to look like you're going to be pushed in your own division more than you ever have been pushed before. And through 5 weeks of the season, they're not really being pushed. Maybe that will change on Monday night. I mean, if that defense keeps the Bills to the exact same pass offense we just saw against the Texans, they can't really get much worse, right? Like, if Allen goes 9 of 30 again, then, okay, now division looks live and conference doesn't look maybe as easy when you're 3-3 and you'd feel like you're behind the Ravens because you got beat badly by them. You would feel like you're behind the Texans because of record and you lost to them, and the Chiefs are 5-0. So maybe it wouldn't feel exactly the same, but to me it's a combo. The first three games, and then what is happening around them is they're not really being pushed. The Jets don't look like a team at all to me that I'm worried about for the duration of the season. Maybe I should be worried about them in a matchup, one-on-one. But for the duration of the season, this was, man, like, the Dolphins, maybe also the Dolphins aren't dead because Tua's supposed to be back in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. The thing, though, is that defense is just so shot. Jordan Poyer is the lowest graded safety in the league so far this year.
And their injuries on defense are significant.
They got another. Jalen Phillips is out. Now Achane is hurt again. He's kind of always injured here and there. But for now, like, I'm just not taking the Dolphins seriously. And the Jets, man, this was supposed to be the easy part of their schedule, right? They lose to Denver, Minnesota. Like, before the year, that was the easy part. And to be 2-3 going into this Bills game, I mean, I was thinking they could be 4-1 going into this Bills game. So, I don't know. Like, I think you're being gift-wrapped a playoff berth, a home playoff game at the start, and to me, that is the exact same starting point that you always have been in. And I don't know. Right now, there might be an argument for, well, you just ride it out, transition year, we had these lower expectations, and to me, it's almost just as likely they find themselves in a divisional playoff game, and I'm going to not want to hear that when they're in a divisional playoff game, not able to throw the football. It's going to feel like a waste. That Sunday afternoon, when they're playing Kansas City, Baltimore, or Houston, and they can't throw the football, and they are two games away from the Super Bowl, how are we going to feel about then? Well, oh, guys, it was a transition year. On that day, to me, that's not going to feel, it's not going to feel right if that's how they go about the rest of the season.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll chat today with Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. That's right, we'll have some Sabres talk today. Paul at 7:30, Lindy at 8, Howard picks the Bills at 8:30, and, you know, normal Tuesday stuff. We'll, of course, continue tracking Hurricane Milton and keep updated on that. Been watching a lot of stories about that, how powerful that's going to be, and you know, keeping everybody in Florida and Tampa and all through that area in our thoughts, as that looks like it's nasty. They're talking, I mean,
I didn't know,
a lot of really powerful words being used.
I saw that it is nearing the mathematical limit of what Earth's atmosphere over this ocean water can produce.
Yeah,
I didn't know they knew what like the mathematical limit of a hurricane was.
Yeah.
Which would they know the mathematical limit of like a snowstorm here? Would that be true of everything? Is there a mathematical limit of a tornado?
I don't know, right? I don't know. I feel like hurricane prediction is better than the other ones.
Yeah?
Definitely better than tornado prediction. I mean, you don't get like 6 days out.
That's true. Yeah.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. A lot of Florida sporting events are going to be canceled, pushed, postponed, a lot going on. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call on the Bills. And what should be on the table right now? Is it time to relax or is it time to act with this team? You can join us. You can call us on the Sabres as well. I mentioned we're going to get to Lindy Ruff coming up at 8 and Paul at 7:30 as the Sabres open the season in 2 days at KeyBank Center against the LA Kings. Chiefs win. They go to the bye week undefeated, and they look like they might have righted their ship. Maybe the Bills' righting of the ship is not far away, too. We'll chat about it with you here on WGR.
Now, I have never been one of those guys that looked at Sean McDermott and said, he need to go. But I will say this, he did himself no favors yesterday. The only thing he did right yesterday was call his own damn self out the game, saying that it was on him, he messed up. I don't know what the hell he was thinking, putting Josh Allen in a position where you basically saying, come save the day for us. Suddenly, we got to look at everything with the Bills. We got to look at you losing Stephon Diggs. We got to look at you losing Gabe Davis. We got to look at the absence of those guys for Josh Allen to throw the football to and look at you and go like this, Dan, what were you thinking? What was your organization thinking? And for you as a coach to put your team in that position at your own damn 5-yard line where you're going to drop back to throw the ball 3 times and not run the football once when clock is on your side was egregious.
Stephen A., I told you, this one went all the way to the top. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Elena Getzenberg pointed out from ESPN, the Bills are the only team in the last 45 years to be tied or leading in the final minute of the game inside their own 5 and throw 3 times.
Yeah.
It's worth pointing out, I also saw that scenario, inside your own 5, other team has 3 timeouts and you're tied, had only happened 1 other time since 2000.
So it very rarely happens.
It's really rare to have happened, to be pinned that far deep, and they have 3 timeouts. Anyway.
It's a big punt.
It was a good punt.
It was a huge punt. I mean, if that ball's out at the 20 then instead.
Then we want 3 passes.
Yeah.
Because then I only need...
Because then I'm not losing the game in regulation.
Probably
unless something horribly wrong goes.
That's right. I can maybe get 40 yards, maybe. and whatever. Yeah, you're not losing in regulation that way. So it's not a, you know, happening twice in 25 years, 24 years. It's not the kind of thing that you might practice situationally, but, you know.
I would have gone run, pass. Run, pass. You get two free timeouts, and then you can be aggressive on the third down. And then part of my point of that is I think you can do both. I think you can still take your shot at the field goal on one play. But if I get even 5 yards on those first two carries, which is not good, but I get 5 yards, and now I'm taking the Texans down of their timeouts. Maybe this is why I go run. But if I take 5 yards back, and then I'm punting the ball, and if I can get a similar punt, then suddenly that 59-yard field goal is becoming like a 65-yard field goal. And maybe he still makes it at 65, but it's a, I don't know, 59 for that guy and a lot of good kickers in the league now is seeming more automatic than it ever has been. I'd like to test to see if 65 is automatic.
Yeah. 803-0550. We could spend a little time on that final possession. Are you out there, and you, Joe, more stuck on that and what it means for McDermott, or more stuck on the state of the passing game being such that I don't want them to pass? That's to me the bigger issue is it has gotten so bad passing the ball that me, who complains when the run pass split is off, like I'm like, no, you probably shouldn't throw the ball here. That's just terrifying. It's gotten this bad.
No, I almost feel like the end of game situation has become a distraction for how bad their passing game is, even though it is another example of how bad their passing game is.
Right.
It's more about the game management decisions rather than the state of your passing game is why you were even in that situation in the first place. The Texans were begging you to take that game away from them, and the Bills couldn't do it because they could not get the ball to a wide receiver.
803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-552-550. We got a bunch of calls. We will take your calls and chat about this. Of course, Sabres on the table as well. If you want it, Lenny Ruff's going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock ahead of the Sabres season opener at home on Thursday.
They lost James Reimer on waivers. So in 10 years, he is going to be an awesome answer to a trivia question.
Yeah, yeah.
Joining Euro Halak.
Phil in Pendleton leads us off this morning. Hey, Phil.
Hey, good morning. I really just wanted to pick your brain on more the theory that perhaps Josh's injuries are contributing more to the low passing game than receiver talent. Because we saw our receivers do some damage in the first 3 weeks. But, you know, since Josh continued to get injured, you know, it just seems like the balls are less and less catchable. I'd love to know, you know, catchable ball percentage. But, I mean, it just is confounding to me. I was watching the game, and I'm watching, you know, these receivers dive, trying to catch the ball. Ball still on the tips of their fingers, while diving, and it still didn't seem possible for them to make that catch. It wasn't every time, but I mean, it just seems like we're getting worse and worse in accuracy as Josh continues to get injured. I wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. I'm watching this final possession again, by the way, and we don't talk about the fact that Coleman interfering with that guy, offensive interference, prevented a pick, which kind of gets to Phil's point, like. Allen's ball placement, Allen's overall play. One thing that has changed, Phil, am I not? Oh, he hung up. Okay. Injuries? Maybe. Taking these massive hits? Maybe. But one thing that has gone in one consistent direction, and the Bills are going to have to deal with it until they find an answer, is the number of times that Josh Allen is getting pressured. Teams are, you know, it's punch, counterpunch, right? That's what football is, punch, counterpunch. And Allen is getting blitzed. And the Bills are not showing that they have answers for it yet. They will have to find answers. So here's some of the numbers on Allen, and I've got numbers on how often he's getting pressured, which has all gone up. But they're also fighting against Allen's own tendencies, right? Mm-hmm. This yak offense, Joe, when they're playing against the Jags and they're playing against these other teams, and this has happened in previous years where he's step back, boom, distribute the ball like Tom Brady. Oh, wow, the good. He's like Tom Brady out there. The opener against the Rams was this. Now, I'm going to give you some numbers on his deep passing attempts. Anthony Prohaska of Cover One had this. He is tied for the fourth most deep passing attempts.
On the season?
That might surprise you, right?
It does surprise me.
Yep. Fourth most deep passing attempts. There are 32 quarterbacks that qualify. Here's where he ranks. Mm-hmm. Completion percentage on passing attempts, 20 air yards or more. Completion percentage, 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Completion rate over expected, 30th. Yards average target separation, 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Tight window percentage, 6th highest. EPA per dropback, 25th. Passer rating, 28th. Pressure rate, 9th highest. Time to throw, 5th highest.
Yeah.
They are dropping him back, and he is hanging in the pocket and looking deep and absolutely getting nothing.
Right.
Some of that's receivers, some of that's him, but completion percentage, the completion rate on 20 air yard throws is 31st.
Yeah.
What did you do to our sweet boy?
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
He asked, actually, the caller asked specifically, like, I don't know what his catchable pass rate is on the year. Allen has the 8th highest catchable pass rate in the league this year.
Mm.
Deep ball catchable pass rate, he's 7th. So
it's receivers.
It's receivers. And I don't know what the what qualifies for that. I might guess that even though it's a tough catch and the throw is a little bit off, Mac Hollins had a ball hit him in the hands.
Well, Mac Hollins, a good go watch.
Like that one, I'm just saying, I think that might count towards catchable.
I know. It's boy, my brain's spinning a bunch of different like comparisons here. This was always said about what, like Jeter? Derek Jeter didn't have the range of other shortstops, so while he made some great plays, he got to fewer balls. That was said about Jeter for a long time. I don't know if it's true or not, but that was said a lot. And with Mac Hollins, like that ball goes off his fingertips, and you think, oh, Allen missed him by a little bit. Well, if that's Rashid Shaheed, he runs underneath it and catches it.
Yeah, he might even be an underthrow.
might be. Right. So, like, you get a spot where when you're getting substandard play at the position, that's how it's going to go. Pressure rate by week. Let me know if you notice a trend here.
Okay.
How often teams are pressuring Allen. Against Arizona, 20% of the dropbacks, he got pressure. Miami, 30. Jacksonville, 23.5. Baltimore, 44. Houston, 46. 46% of dropbacks, they're getting pressure. And his numbers against pressure in Houston, he was 1 of 14. And have you seen the passing chart on that?
No.
Heaves down the field.
Yeah.
Prayers. The Bills' passing offense started to look like prayers down the field when he gets pressure.
Isn't there also a theme here of, I think I said this after the Jacksonville game, one way, he's always going to want the big play. He wants the deep ball. One way to keep him from doing that when it's not there.
Hand the ball off.
hand the ball off, but have the short passing game actually be working, right? Have the yak plays be working against Jacksonville and against Miami. All of those little bubble plays around the line of scrimmage, all those short passes that Allen was throwing, they were working, right?
Yeah.
That Shakir especially, Kincaid had some screens. Like, those plays were working. James Cook out of the backfield so that his average depth of target or whatever was really low, but he had really good numbers. What happened against the Texans? Every single time they tried to dial something up to Curtis Samuel around the line of scrimmage.
Teams jump on it.
They were all over it, and even when he got the ball, didn't he have 0 yards?
Yeah.
He had 0 yards receiving on the day. What happened in the game? You didn't give Allen the short yak plays, so what does he want to do? I want to heave it.
He's got to take shots. Pressure builds. David in Cleveland. Quickly, David.
Yes, quickly. I'm all in on Amari Cooper.
Okay.
Live here, watch Amari Cooper play, consistent separation. They're talking about benching Deshaun Watson. The Cleveland Browns are a dumpster fire going nowhere. They may be willing to deal. They have a paucity of draft picks due to that disaster Deshaun Watson trade. So
yeah.
I think Bean's got to go hard after Amari Cooper.
Thanks, Dave. They're 1-4, and they've scored 79 points in 5 games, the Browns, which is brutal.
He does lead the league in drops. We'll throw that out there. And I did see yesterday also that of the, I believe it's 80 players that ESPN has graded on open score, he ranks number 76 on the season. So I don't know if that's motivation. I don't know if that's he's shot now. I also know, though, that he's basically free.
And he'd free
when it comes to salary. Like, you can actually get him on the
team. He would still be, even all that said, an upgrade over pretty much everybody they've got on the outside.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see if his name starts to pop up. When we get back, the latest on Devontae Adams. Ian Rappaport had some choice words last night about how soon this could happen.
Okay, because Kay Adams also had an interesting tweet.
Yes, yeah. There seems to be an idea that this is going to move soon, Davante Adams, which means we got to focus in or be prepared to move on. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. 803-0550, our phone number. Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock. Howard picks the Bills today. The Chiefs are off to the bye week.
Oh, thank goodness.
Maybe they make a trade.
Oh, my God. We're going to get three primetime games that aren't at Arrowhead?
True. David in Staten Island, very fast before the break. Hey, David, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Quick question. Why isn't MVS benched, but KJ Hamler can't play? Because I think, he can stretch the field, too. And if MVS is dropping the ball on 9 targets for 2 receptions, I mean, how much worse can KJ Hamler be?
I'm ready. I'm totally ready for this. I'm ready for any of it. Shavers, tell me, give me a receiver. Any of them.
I mean, Hamler is definitely not like the prototype for outside.
But he's fast.
And we thought maybe he would dress in the place. I thought Hamler would dress instead of maybe Tyrell Shavers because Shakir was the one out.
Right.
But it was Shavers. I mean, it's reasonable, David, to say the Bills might be at the stage of let's try anything.
All training camp, we talked about how Shavers was playing better than MVS.
Yep.
Like, it would not be unseen if he started playing ahead of MVS to me.
Yep. Thanks, David. What ideas you got? You want to make a trade? Some trade candidate?
Michael Thomas is still out there.
Michael Thomas.
He's free.
What happened like a month ago where I told you Chris Olave was the target? Go get Chris Olave. Is he going to want out of there? Their cap situation's bad.
Yeah, what was the
He's going to be due there? A new deal. Just go, hey, we'll give you a first round pick and we'll pay Chris Olave.
Ooh, I just searched Crystal. Listen to this. The first. Do we tease it?
What? What do you got? I don't even know what you got.
I'll give it to you right now. Chris Olave. The first thing I just saw. The first headline when I searched Chris Olave.
Yeah? Tease it.
I'll tease it. I'll give it to you when we come back.
I'm excited. He's a good player. Jeremy and Joe, stick with us. We got a couple people jumped off. You want to get in? 803-0550. What's on the table right now? How aggressive do the Bills need to be in fixing what problems you see? You can join us, 803-0550 on WGR.